Welcome to Bicycle Retail Radio, the bicycle industry podcast that brings retailers, vendors, advocates, and thought leaders to the mic for honest discussions about the latest issues facing retailers while taking an in-depth look at the person within the profession.
Welcome, friends. Bicycle Retail Radio. This is Heather Mason, NBDA President. I'm excited today to feature a Retailer Excellence Award winner, all-star, my personal friend, Steve Morgenstern, owner at Bicycle Ranch Tucson. We talk about leveraging brand and the awards and how to let your customers know the story of you, your core values as a retailer. We discuss the changing marketplace and how retailers can succeed with the right tools. In addition, we talk about the unique strengths of your team, the customer experience, and how other retailers can pick up lots of nuggets that Steve shares to have the same staying power as he has over the past 10 years. Really enjoyed this conversation. Lots of fun. Here we go. Steve, thank you for being on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to get into the conversation. How are you?
I'm doing great, Heather. How are you?
I'm awesome. I am such a fan of what you're doing at Bicycle Ranch. I mean, it's definitely a relationship. I've been paying attention to you, to your team for several years now. And in prepping for today's podcast, I went onto your website and I think that says it best, Steve. It says, "We want to be your shop, locally owned and operated, catering to cyclists of all ages and abilities. And our focus is to provide a place that cyclists can congregate, ask questions, gain information, find products, and experience service that keeps you coming back and makes us your local bike shop of choice." I mean, Steve, that is dialed, right? That's what we're doing here, right?
That's the goal. We want to be so much more.
The conversations I've been having with retailers throughout the last, I'd say 18 months, have been focused on the services that we offer, what sets the local bicycle retailer apart from online sellers. And the answers keep coming back to the knowledge, the education, just that experience when people are in your store. So I really want to talk about that experience with you because that's your history. That's what you guys do, right?
Absolutely. I think most people in the store have been doing it for a long time. Those who are newer have been in it as a passion. It's a great community for cycling, and it's only growing in terms of what there is to offer. Our infrastructure is growing. The weather, of course, is just about perfect, and it's hard not to get into cycling when you live in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, the last time I was in Tucson, I was racing the 24 Hours of Old Pueblo. That is an intense race. You know that well, right, Steve?
I do. I've done it for 12 years. We've been the local only bike shop at the event for 6 years. We do 24-hour support during the race. We work the expo, the Burning Man of Bikes, so to speak. Epic Rides is absolutely amazing, and the event here, it's so many people, we could do a whole podcast on that. I'm sure you already have, but it's one of those unique things that draws people here.
It's one of those events that's definitely on the bucket list, that's sure. And Steve, so we are recording. It is early April, and I know that you just attended the Bicycle Leadership Conference. How was it?
It was really unique, very interesting. It's my first one to be at, and I attended both as a retailer, and our director worked with People for Bikes and Visit Tucson to get the leadership conference here in Tucson for the next 2 years. And to be in the room with some of the movers and shakers in the industry, creators of the big companies, kind of humbling, and to get the perspective on what's important in the industry to those companies, the tariff, the trade practices, the regulations, everything that's affecting us from the standpoint as a local stop, but on a global scale, and to talk about best practices and see different industry leaders emphasizing coming together and being on the same page, even though we're semi-competitors. It was inspiring. It was encouraging. There were only two other bike shop retailers in attendance, large shops, and to be able to sort of talk to them and get information. People have been in the business a lot longer than I have. Really inspiring, and I wish more retailers that should come to it, just because you can talk to people and gain so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And new location, right? So the location, I saw some photos. It looked like a pretty picturesque setting and just a nice location.
Yeah. You know, obviously in the foothills of Tucson, Arizona, very nice Lowe's resort. There was a lot of road riding straight out the door, hiking for people. Some people did go mountain biking, but you know, we had one day of rain, which wasn't ideal and not unique, but or kind of unique for just on this time of year. But the next day it was 75, beautiful.
Nice.
And yeah, very, very picturesque, and gave people a sense of what the community here in Houston has to offer in terms of cycling.
So you mentioned there was just two other retailers there, and I think I did see that report too in Bicycle Retailer Industry News. But as a retailer there, the seminars looked fantastic. Was there anything like that you walked away from the conference saying, wow, I really need to, you know, sit with this information. This could definitely make an impact on my business, that you would share?
Yeah, one of the big ones was using AI, like a ChatGPT, looking at how that's affecting the industry, not only our industry, every industry. And the quote that stuck out to me is, AI is not going to replace your job, but the person using AI will replace you. And I hadn't used it before. I kind of played around with it, but the tools that I got speaking with the experts, just 2-minute tutorial on how to take my ideas, things that I've been doing for 10 years in terms of advertising, marketing, social media posts, and being able to use this tool to refine it and change it and get suggestions, it was mind-blowing as to how easy it could be to make it better. And I mean, that was just sort of the one personal aspect of it that I really took away and have used already.
Yeah.
And shared with my wife, who's in a different industry but can really benefit from it as well.
Yeah, the AI and the capabilities that provides, and yeah, ChatGPT, it's definitely something that we can use for our marketing, yeah, for our email campaigns or whatnot. It makes things, it brings stuff to the table. Of course, we have to edit it and refine it and put it in our
right.
own words, but it definitely is a time saver and just expands what we can do there. Right. So I love that they reviewed that and covered that and you took that away. Well, Steve, let's dive into it. Our listenership is very diverse. We have retailers that listen to the podcast. I know there's some sales representatives, suppliers, maybe even some riders themselves. But I want to get into what you're doing at Bicycle Ranch. You're a Retailer Excellence Award, America's Best Bike Shop Award winner multiple times. You're doing things right. Your customer reviews are phenomenal. So before we get into the unique things about what you're doing, let's just talk more about your history, your path to ownership, how you got into the bike business. Give us a little bit of that, if you would.
Well, I've been a rider forever. I say my neighbors got me into event cycling, not just riding the bike around the neighborhood. I was 11 years old a long time ago, did my first 50-mile ride, and I've been riding ever since. I have a picture in my office of the first 50-mile ride I did. Unfortunately, it's no longer in existence. It's called the Hancock Horizontal 100. It took place in Findlay, Ohio. And I'm wearing jeans with my leg tucked into a tube sock, a sweatshirt, a beanie. Times have changed drastically. And fell in love with cycling then. Did it all through high school, college. Never really competed, but always participated in events. Career path was in sport marketing, sport management. Had a number of changes in industries and applied that knowledge and got a lot of advertising, marketing, sales, customer service. And at one point, through these changes of career path, I decided I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And my father had retired and said, well, what do we want to do? And I talked to a bicycle ranch in Scottsdale who were owned by a friend of mine and said, I really think I want to open a bike shop, and talked about what it would be like. I talked to just about every bike shop in Keystone, the owners who I knew from riding here, said, can this town support another stop in the location that I was looking at? And so I partnered with or licensed the name Bicycle Ranch to bring down to Tucson. We opened sort of as a second location to the Scottsdale, which gave me a bit of instant credibility for the name in the industry with our supplier. And started small, and it's just taken off over the past 10 years with consistent growth.
Wow. And you love what you do?
I do. I love sharing it. My passion for cycling, what it can mean. And again, it's not just a competitive side. It's all sides. And the one customer that stands out through the whole 10 years was a lady who had two knee replacements, who was in her 60s, hadn't been on a bike in probably 30 years. Her kids told her she was nuts to try and get on a bike, trying to get healthy. She went out behind our shop, took a ride around, and she came back. The smile on her face was so big. And she's like, I forgot what that feeling was. And I said to her, this is why I opened the shop. Because that reaction, that enjoyment out of someone telling her she could do it, that she wasn't too old to ride a bike and have fun, just has always stuck with me.
Yeah. We are changing people's lives. It is truly, we are truly making an impact for each and every person that comes in our door. And I think sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that, right? Because we're doing the marketing and the email and the staff training and dealing with different regulations and servicing things. And there's so many things. But if we stick true to that, that every person who comes in our door, we have an opportunity to change their lives. And we do. That's huge. That's huge. So listeners, bicycleranchtucson.com, that's the website. I definitely suggest you check out that webpage. You can see on the Our Story link, the About link, more information about Steve and his path into owning Bicycle Ranch Tucson. Steve, for our listeners, like a 30-foot view, how big is the store, number of staff, what brands are you working with? Just a little bit more about that.
When we opened, we were in about 3,000 square foot space. Well, mid-COVID, we had an opportunity to move into a bigger space because of the demand and service. We outgrew our size, so now we're in about a 5,000 square foot facility. Same shopping plaza, so we were really lucky. We didn't have to relocate, just a few steps down. We have a staff of 7, mostly 3 full-time, the rest of part-time. Service manager does an amazing job. The brands that we've had since day one are Giant, Liv, Cannondale. And we could bring BMC in as a sort of niche brand to have an alternative. We have never branched out from those brands because they offer so much and have been amazing partners and really helped us grow. So it really has been a almost family relationship of those brands and Bicycle Ranch and being this store, not sort of a mold of any one brand, or you don't walk in and say, oh, I see you're just this. So
yeah.
The idea was to have the identity of Bicycle Ranch Tucson that sells these brands.
Yeah.
Registration is officially open. And we want you to join us for the second annual NBDA Retailer Summit, May 22nd and 23rd in Bentonville, Arkansas. Our 2024 program features 2 dynamic days of presentations, panel discussions, and breakout sessions aimed to unite retailers and suppliers in conversation. Tickets include an event gift bag, tailored educational events, networking cocktail event and select meals, early access to the Bentonville Bike Fest, not to mention ample riding time on world-class trails. You won't want to miss it. So don't. Get registered today at nbda.com.
So when we talk about identity, that's an interesting thought, because I've been trying to communicate to our P2 groups, to retailers, asking them, what are your core values? Like, what are the things that sets your store, so Bicycle Ranch Tucson, apart from other stores? Or asking retailers to think, when customers think of your store, what do you want them to associate your store with? So Steve, I'd ask you, like, what are your core values, or what is your culture that you want people to think about when they think about Bicycle Ranch Tucson?
Yeah, for me, it's always been being that community resource, being the expert, and customer service. So again, my background all the way back has been in customer service. Sales got added later, and working as providing the best. I worked at high-end resort. I worked in car dealership, and I got that experience of, it doesn't matter if it's a $500 bike or a $15,000 bike, it's that person's bike, and you want them to be treated the same and feel like they can come to us, the person that they trust, to have the best customer experience. It doesn't mean we always get it right. I mean, there are times we have errors or mess up or miss something, but people know they can come to us and say, hey, this isn't quite right, and we're going to fix it. Being locally owned and operated in a time when there are big brands buying local stores that don't give the same emphasis to community. We've always done sponsorship for local groups, whether it's the high school mountain bike clubs or tri clubs or supporting local charities. It's always been about being into the community and supporting the bicycling community, and again, on every level, whether it's someone who's racing to be a cat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or they go around the neighborhood and they have a group of people who just ride coffee rides, knowing they can come to us as the resource to get the answers. And it was during COVID that I did a lot of interviews on the news and different media outlets on. We hear about the bike boom. We hear about the bike shortage. What's happening? How do we get things taken care of? And I was able to sort of be that resource and hopefully continue to do that.
Yeah, be a trusted resource. And as a person who doesn't live in the area, you know, I'm over here in New York, but I'm looking at your website. Your website does communicate that through your community links, through just all the photos, all the resources you have available. It does. Your website is, you've created a website that feels very inviting, and it feels like any cyclist, no matter where you are in your journey, could find a resource within your store. So kudos to you for doing that. That's not an easy thing to do, to articulate through a website, but as an outsider, you know, looking in, I do feel that. I'm wondering, Steve, you talk about your core values, what you want people to think about when they think of Bicycle Ranch. How do you ensure that you're keeping true to those and that your staff knows that those are important things to you, that you want? How do you communicate that?
Well, a lot of it is being involved. As starting as a small shop, you know, there were times when I was the only one in the store, or there were two of us, and I continued to work in the business as well as on the business. I build bikes. I do sales. I take out the trash, I scrub toilets, you know, just being there, communicating that, and having employees see me do that. You know, we keep that message going. It's not do as I say, not as I do. It is here's what we built. And we get together at times and talk about, you know, are there changes coming, or have we lost focus? Are we going too fast? Are we trying to turn too much service versus taking care of the people? And it's always, I've always told people who are doing sales, when someone walks in the door, first thing you shouldn't think is, what am I going to sell? It should be, I'm going to say hi to this person. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who just pop in because they are in the area. They've come on vacation. They just want to check out a local bike shop. And for us, it's building the relationship from day one. And we've had, there's a review somewhere, I can't find it now, but someone came in, we talked, they were here on vacation, And never once did buying anything come up. And they left and they wrote a review saying how nice it was to come in and feel like they were local and got treated as a friend when they were just popping in. And those relationships obviously build. Again, it's that trust. There's too many times you can walk into a bike shop and say you've experienced it, where someone may sort of give you sort of a nod and then not say two words to you. And you walk out, maybe you're ready to dump $5,000 on a bike, but nobody said hello. And for us, it's more about what questions can we answer. And there's a lot of people we wind up talking to who are new about local restaurants. You just moved here. Do you need a vet? Do you need to know, you know, the long question, Houston, where's the best Mexican food? Or, you know, what are the best routes? What are the I can't miss routes? And that's what we spend a lot of time talking about versus, hey, let me tell you something.
Yeah. So you're out there actually working on the floor, doing the work, you know, at, you know, with your team and continually reminding the team to communicate that thank you, have that intention of asking questions, making people feel welcome. It's not always about just selling people an item or meeting that specific need that they come in for, but asking those questions and getting that conversation going. So you become more of an experience, something that people want to talk about, that they visited this really great shop that didn't just sell them a tube, but gave them so much more.
Correct.
In our P2 meetings, you know, working with retailers across North America, in our most recent meeting, I asked some of the owners if they had any non-negotiables themselves as a business owner. And I'm feeling for you that being like honest and trustworthy might be one. Is that true?
Absolutely. Customer service, I say, is sort of a non-negotiable. Honesty, absolutely non-negotiable. Again, I kind of learned in the car business that, you know, that there's a dirty word that people think about with cars and bikes is upsell in service. And, you know, really for me, it's if we don't point out what's needed, we're doing as much of a disservice as if we were selling something they didn't need. So the honesty of, hey, your bike is going to cost more to fix than it's worth. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, you could dump a lot of money into it, but your goal is to just have it moving. So let's do the minimum. So really, that honesty, the building that's trust is definitely number one non-negotiable.
I love that. Yeah, being able to have those conversations so the customer has all the resources laid out in front of them so they can make the best educated choice. And it always puts your store in the position as the expert, and you're really letting the rider choose. Tell me about your staff, because, you know, your staff are the people that are on the floor representing Bicycle Ranch Tucson. And I'm hearing from retailers that it's really hard to find good people. It's very challenging. Has your staff been with you for a long time so they understand the culture and this award-winning? I mean, you've won the Retailer Excellence Award and America's Best Bike Shop and other accolades. Like, your team, has this team been with you for some time, Steve?
You know, we've been very lucky in the 10 years. I'm only on my second service manager. And the only reason the other one's gone is he sort of went on to bigger and better things out of the industry. I have my son, whose family, obviously, working here. But yeah, I have people who have been with me. I think the newest one is a year. Everybody else is 3 or more years. I'm lucky in that they're not looking to move on. I mean, I do have a young man who started with us when he was in high school. He's now taking classes in college and is here part-time. But, you know, obviously they enjoy it. They get it. And taking advantage of being here while they can. It is hard. I mean, we have looked for other staff over the past couple of years, a part-time or a potential mechanic, and staffing is hard. You know, this is not an industry where, unfortunately, you make a lot of money, either as sales or mechanic. It's better than it was 5 years ago, but it's not easy. So finding someone who understands, has the skills, and is willing to do it is definitely tough. So I do think I'm extremely lucky. The people I have, our service manager is extremely experienced, very knowledgeable, creative, not afraid to think outside the box, and he's kind of a unicorn in that he knows a lot and he's good with customers.
Yeah.
Not afraid to talk.
Not afraid to talk. That's good. You talked a little bit about service. You know, this is only your second service manager. So you must be doing something right in service. I know service is a department that really can add, you know, a lot of revenue to the bicycle retailer. And it's something that is hands-on. So people find a local bike shop and we are providing this amazing service. Is there anything specific to your service department that you feel is a standout for Bicycle Ranch Tucson?
I don't know if it's a standout, but from the beginning, we've had the service center sort of in the middle or focused on the shop. The old school method of the service is back behind the wall. You don't get to talk to people. Always created in my mind that doubt of what's happening. And when people come walk up and look at their bike in the stand, talk to the people, explain the concerns, or just ask questions of the professional mechanic, it again opens up that trust. And, you know, when we go through bikes, we walk through with the customer, we check the chains, we point things out that we see right away. And having the variety of service tune up and walking people through that. What's the best option? Is it fixing a few things a la carte or do they need a full tune up? And really offering that best value is important. And having the experience, you know, we can work on, of course, electronic assisting systems, and we have e-bikes and we're trained in those, and just the consistency, turnaround, under promise, over deliver in terms of time and hopefully meeting those times and expectations. And then communication, you know, it's always been important to call people and say, we do have to order a part, or the part got delayed, or, you know what, we ordered the wrong part. And as long as the person knows, that trust remains. And I think that sets our service hopefully apart and keeps people coming back.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is a very consistent approach to how you take bikes in and taking that time to make sure that the customers is thoroughly educated on what their bike needs and what can be done now or at a later date, but you are taking the time to showcase your expertise and run through everything so the customer, the rider, is left fully informed and really knowing that their bike is in very capable hands. And then additionally, that follow-up on communication, which is so important, right? So I love those two standout items, the consistency, yeah, procedure, and communication. You've won America's Best Bike Shop multiple times, the Retailer Excellence Award multiple times. You've also received community accolades. How do you, you know, this must be awesome, right? Like, congrats. Job well done.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, when I started it and learned about America's Best Bike Shop when it was in that form, it was important to me, not necessarily to get the award, but to go through the process and see what was being looked at. You know, what was important to those who've been in the industry longer than me? Where is that standout? You know, how could I be on that for the Best Bike Shop list? And I know it was voluntary to try and do, but to me it was, if I'm taking the time to do that, then maybe my customers will see how important it is to me. There are a lot of really good shops out there, I'm sure, that didn't participate, didn't feel it worth it, but to me, if you don't have someone outside looking in and you're not obviously following a formula that works and is received as that top level, then you're missing out. And it was a constant reminder, are we doing events? Are we participating? Does the store look good? Is there signage? Is it open and friendly? And someone walks in, do they feel like it's a closet in the 1970s bike shop? Or is it an open, modern, comfortable, all accessible bike shop of today? So, you know, we continue to do that. I get excited every year to do it because, again, it's retrospective looking at myself in the mirror and am I doing all the things I need to be doing?
The NBDA values the importance of deep interpersonal connections, and our Retailer Summit is designed to be a catalyst for just that. Attending the Retailer Summit in May ensures you meet the right people who know the bicycle industry, respect your business, and want to help you grow, both personally and professionally. It's an easy way to take your business to the next level through networking, engaging with panelists and speakers, problem solving with your fellow attendees, followed by ample riding time on world-class trails. Go to nbda.com/retailersummit for more information and to get your tickets today.
And how does your team feel to be a part of a winning organization? Do your staff members notice and do you share the success with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got every plaque on the wall showing the awards, and I let them know it's not me doing it, it's them. And yeah, it feels good because, again, Tucson, huge cycling community, there are, you know, probably something like 25 to 30 bike shops of all different sizes in a community of a couple million people, and it's hard to stand out. So when they know we're standing out because of their effort, it makes a difference.
And I'm sure your customers see these accolades as well, and they recognize that.
Yeah, everywhere, somewhat for their self-pat on the back, but to let them know we're continuing to strive for that highest level for them. And it's always welcomed or received extremely well.
I love that. You know, speaking about letting our community, you know, in on the success that we're having, I've been talking to a lot of retailers recently who are saying that foot traffic is down. And of course, we'd like to see new riders in the sport, more people in our stores. Are there any specific ways that you're reaching new customers or reminding your community, get on your bike, come into our business, that you would share with us?
I don't know if there's anything new. Obviously, advertising, you know, there's traditional. We've talked about traditional versus digital. We've tried a little bit of everything over the years. We did print, we did coupons, we did Groupons, and things as they changed. And for me, traditional doesn't have as much target. I don't think it's a very shotgun approach. We did last year do some targeted actual TV and YouTube video minister, you know, sort of things click, and that got a lot of exposure. We got new people seeing us. I think my grandkids clicked on it most of the times, but it paid a lot for them to see me. But I got feedback that, hey, I constantly see you or recognize the name. And it's a catch 22 because that kind of stuff is expensive and it's hard to justify as traffic is down or sales are down in this post-COVID adjustment period. So trying to mix it up. And again, being at different events, we're not known as a tri shop, but we support triathlons, or the groups that do the tries and hold meetings here for their groups and just reaching out as many different ways as we can to try and hit that and stay active in the community with social media posts and advertising that hopefully the variety of people will see.
I like that. I like trying to be active in hitting a diverse group of customers, even if it's not a customer base that you normally cater to. The Groupon is interesting. I definitely remember when I was a retailer, we did Groupon and I wasn't sure what to expect, but it actually was pretty awesome. We reached new people and then direct mail. But the YouTube, so YouTube, were you making a video promoting like a educational, informational video or what? How did you choose to advertise on YouTube?
Well, I worked with a media group here and it was an ad on one of the local stations. They highlight almost like an infomercial, 90-second highlight of a local business. And we took that content and made a short little ad that ran. So people, we did it in the Tour de France and some of the spring classics. So
nice.
If you were searching for cycling content, that ad would pop up. And so it wasn't really informational. It wasn't really us doing anything but introducing ourselves in the mm-hmm. business. But it was related to what their searches were. So it worked really well, again, in terms of popping up a lot around that content. And, you know, I don't know, it's hard to quantify the sales from it, but getting responses of people saying, I saw you, I popped in because I saw you, or I'm tired of seeing you.
Steve, when you say see you, was it actually your face in the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was so me.
I asked that because we've had some retailers doing Facebook Reels, and who they've been telling me when the owner or manager actually has their face in the reel, they're the one doing it, even though it's really maybe uncomfortable or sticky or icky. It has a great impact because, like you're saying, people come in and they're like, I saw you. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was walking through the grocery store one day when that was going on, and, you know, someone said, oh, it's the bike guy. And you know, so it's nice. We want to be that recognized. And again, our growth has come locally as good or bad. I'm the face of the shop. So people know me. I'm not a absentee owner. It's not a big store. People know it is my shop. And that's what I want. I mean, I want to be local. I don't want to be sort of a warehouse to e-commerce necessarily, and I know we'll talk about that, but that being a face and that recognition, yeah, I absolutely think that makes all the difference when someone walks in, they see the person that they saw on an ad or saw on TV, not a paid actor.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Well, while we're on this digital topic, I want to jump over to e-com, D2C, click and collect. I know you're a giant retailer and they have their web link platform. So I have some questions. E-com, you know, is that a focus for you? Do you find that e-com sales are something you're trying to grow, or is your website just there to showcase what you have? Just some general thoughts about that as far as it impacts your business.
So, you know, I really thought about early on trying to do more e-com and discovered that it's almost a separate business. Our website does mainly highlight what we have or can get through our suppliers. And it really is more about click and collect. We don't ship. I don't want to be a shipping, as I said. I don't want to be a warehouse because to me, it opens up a lot of potential issues. Over the 10 years, we have been hit by fraud on some of those things. The returns are tough. It just takes more time, energy, and money than at my level, I think, is worth it. There are some big stores out there, obviously, that do extremely well with their e-com. But for me, the focus is more click and collect, come into the store, but have the opportunity to see what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. Web link through Giant. Do you find that to be of value to your business? Are there ways that you're optimizing that?
I would say Web link in Kendall also does a online buy through local retailer has been one of the best things that ever happened to our business.
Oh, really?
It really kicked off as we went into COVID. There was limited supply. Giant specifically put some bikes only on WebLink so that the big deep pocket stores couldn't buy available inventory mm-hmm. and sit on it. It was only available for a consumer to purchase directly through the store. They are the only ones to give 100% margin. If I were to buy it, the same margin as if consumer buys it and picks our store for assembly and delivery. So during COVID, it was really nice to be able to say, it's there, it's available. Let me walk you through the process. You're paying the same price. You're paying our tax rate. And it's coming to us, and you're getting all the same service. We get it. We assemble it. I include a free fit with every bike because to me, it's very important that the bike is set up right. Otherwise, the experience isn't going to be right.
Yeah.
We do the maintenance. We do the first tune-up for free. So having the ability for a customer to walk in, compare a bike here to a bike at another brand or another dealer, and then decide at 10 o'clock at night, I want that bike. I don't want to wait. They can jump on and get it. And we're lucky in our location, being so close to California. The weathering says they'll be here within 7 days, and we typically get 2 to 3 days the bike's under the customer. So it's kind of expound on that. It really, when people talk about the consumer to the shop, saying it's not fair that you're not getting 100% margin, the consumer can just order it and ship it. My initial reaction was that, but then it was, well, what if I'm getting 85% of something I wouldn't otherwise have? And now I have an opportunity to earn a new customer. Because there's a lot of times we'll get notice of a Weblink or Kendale online sale. We never talk to the customer. They live in a different area, but they came to us, selected us, and now we have an opportunity to win a customer for life.
Yeah, that shift in mindset that you mentioned, I think, is important because we can't, you know, you are getting something, and you have also an opportunity to create a customer for life. Is there anything you're doing in the store to accelerate either your click and collect or your web link or your online through locally through Cannondale? Is there anything you're doing in the in-store experience digitally to promote those?
Yeah, we've got a touchscreen TV system that essentially will pull up so we can compare bikes. So if we have one model but not the other, or if we have something similar but not exactly what they're looking for, we can pull up and show them. And especially when there are certain models that are still hard to get and they're asking about them, we can pull up and say, look, there's none anywhere in the country. You know, here's why we can't get it. But it allows them to compare. And if they're, you know, really in a time crunch, because we do have people who are like, hey, I'm going to leave for the summer. I'm a snowbird and I need the bike. I decided. These online orders sometimes can be faster than us placing the order, because obviously our inside reps want to take care of us. So if I place an order for two bikes, they may call and say, hey, I see that you got this order. Do we want to add anything to hit freight? Or you have a back order. And sometimes you wind up playing phone tag, so it can add a day or potentially longer. And if there's only one bike that doesn't get allocated, you could miss out on it. Mm-hmm. So if there's one or two bikes that we see are left in the country, we'll say, hey, let's do it this way because it's going to absolutely lock in that bike guaranteed to you. And we've created a better experience instead of saying, oh, I went to submit that order and the bike's no longer available.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think that retailers could learn some things there and capitalize on the opportunities that suppliers and brands do make available in that regard. But consumer needs are shifting. And I think there is some concern with the heavy discounting that's going on. And when we go to some of the websites, we see prices maybe that don't align with the prices that we have in store, which can make for a tricky conversation. So in the discount topic, I guess, like, are there ways that you're handling discounts that don't create a sense of like Bicycle Ranch Tucson's always going to give discounts, or how do you navigate discounts?
So, you know, right now with just some of the current stock being discounted, you know, I looked at the big picture, and yes, we could order the same bike at the discount, or I could sell the one I have at the match price. And all in this time, I've been matching the online price, which maybe I'm losing a little bit, but if I'm gaining that customer again, we can make up in other sales. And it's not duplicating inventory. And even, you know, most of the time, if it's something new that I don't have, I have to order that's discounted. Obviously, the manufacturers have been adjusting our cost very fairly at least the brands we have, to make that happen. You know, if there's one or two that the discount is so deep compared to when I bought it, that I've gone to our inside rep or our sales rep and said, you know, I'm taking a hit on this one. Maybe you could help me on something in the future.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of discounting. We occasionally have sales. You know, we really never discount labor. Really look at the things that we maybe make the most margin on or in order to help. But I don't, you know, when I started, there was a lot of, oh, you buy a bike and everything you buy is 10 to 20% off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of gone away. This is the price. Here's the value of it. We provide, as I mentioned, the free fit. We do the first tune-up, lifetime adjustments on brakes and derailleurs if it didn't crack. Our expertise, our time, our value. So we really emphasize those things rather than discounting. And the because most of the manufacturers that we deal with now have set pricing and they have MAP pricing, so they're not discounting. It's no longer a range of, hey, you could sell for this, we could sell for this. I'm able to tell people, you buy it in the store at this price, you buy it online at the same price.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps us alleviate that discounting, the thought that bikes are like cars, you got to go in and negotiate. Whereas I compare it to bikes are like a steak at a high-end steakhouse. You don't go in and say, what's my price?
Right.
Pay the price on the menu, period.
Right. I think with the culture, you know, from my point of view, talking to you now for like the past hour, the culture that I feel like you've created and that sense of that you're the local bicycle retailer in the community that has the expert knowledge and you care about your community and your customers. And I think your team gets that and your customers will get that. And you seem very trustworthy because that's one of your non-negotiables. So I love your explanation of discounts. And it sounds like you're just a smart business guy too. Like the passion's there, but you're also looking at the numbers and you have a goal and I feel like you're staying fluid. So there's a lot of changes that have happened, but you're staying fluid, right? Is my sense right there?
If you're not fluid in the bike industry, you're not in business. I mean, I was talking at the leadership conference to people who've been in business a long time, and I say, this is 10 years we've been in business, and we're now on the fourth relearning of how to operate in the bike industry, because it was one way when we started. It started to shift away. Then COVID happened. Post-COVID, do we do big pre-orders? No, we don't do big pre-orders anymore. And the suppliers are getting that. But the just-in-time is back to be able to have a good supply on the floor. But if we need something, you know, again, being lucky where we're at, there's a lot of warehouses and suppliers that we can get next day or 2 days. So we're not waiting a week, 2 weeks, or 6 months like it was during COVID to get a change or something unique that we don't have. So constantly changing the e-bike market, the travel, you know, all the trends that we're just kind of flowing with and maybe, I don't think I can stay ahead of them, but we can kind of adapt to what our customer base is. And again, that being a shop that wants to help riders of all ages and abilities, as our tagline says, that applies to all bikes, kids' bikes, hybrid, e-bikes, race bikes. It doesn't matter. You know, that fluidity has to be there.
Well, we're excited to have you in the industry. And I mean, judging from all the photos and the reviews I read online, getting ready for today's podcast, your community is thankful to have you in the community. So, I mean, Steve, you got to just keep doing what you're doing. It's absolutely awesome. I'm positive that some of our listeners might have questions or just want to reach out and say job well done. Is there a good email for you or a way that people, our listeners, could contact you if they want to follow up about anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Email is just Steve, S-T-E-V-E, bicycleranch.com. I'm in the store usually 6 days a week or available. I do most of the responses on social media, so I'm easy to find. Happy to talk.
Well, Steve, thank you again for sharing your story, sharing, you know, what you've found success in, your staying power for the past 10 years with our listeners. It truly means a lot to me, and I appreciate what you do.
Well, I appreciate all NBDA does and the opportunity to be here and just talk about the business and share where I can, whatever little nuggets may be out there for someone. I hope someone got something.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for listening to Bicycle Retail Radio. This podcast is designed specifically for the bicycle industry, dedicated to strengthening our retailers and cycling community. If it is your first episode, we urge you to take the time and listen to our past episodes. Support the show by first subscribing, then share your favorite episode online with friends. You can go one step further and leave a review. It helps members of our industry find our podcast. Special thanks to NBDA Development Director Rochelle Scouten for editing and promotional graphics. Music provided by Joel Picard.